And welcome to our very first Think About It Thursday podcast. And with me today is Amy Durling. Amy, I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Yes. Welcome, everyone. My name is Amy Durling. I am the Director of Compliance and Privacy for PsyOx Health, and happy to have you join us today on our first of many podcasts we'll be having on Thursdays.
Yep. So, hey, Amy, today's topic is going to be about self-pays. And you know me, I always have a story to start out with, right? So I have to tell you this. It's funny. A few months ago, I had a family member. We'll be nice. I'm not going to say who actually went in. They were getting ready to have a procedure done. And they decided, because this is how this family member works, that they wanted to pay for it out of pocket because they thought, I'm going to negotiate a rate. And I'm going to get a better rate than, you know, probably what my payer is going to get. And they did, right?
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, I never even thought you could do that, but apparently you can. And so they registered themselves as a self-pay. And at this particular facility, a couple months or a couple weeks later, the next thing you know, he got an EOB from the payer. And he called me up and he was like, wait a minute, I decided to pay this out of pocket. I've always heard you, you know, Elizabeth, talking about self-pays and the fact that, you know, you're not supposed to, once you register as a self-pay, it shouldn't be going anywhere. Is this right? And I was like, no, it's not right. The payer should have never gotten, you know, the information from that provider about being the self-pay. And I know you and I've talked about this quite a bit because when you look at the regulation, it's pretty clear about how this is supposed to be handled. And I know you're gonna be shocked. I actually researched this and I have the actual regulation pulled up, right? And it says a covered entity is required to agree to an individual's request to restrict the disclosure of their PHI to a health plan when both of the following conditions are met. One, the disclosure is for payment or healthcare operations and is not otherwise required by law. And two, the PHI pertains solely to a healthcare item or service for which the individual or a person under the health plan on behalf of the individual has paid the covered entity in full. So I thought that was really interesting that his information still got released to his health plan. And our providers really paying attention to this? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Are they right? Are they really just giving the consent for treatment? And maybe there's a disconnect from, okay, I signed and I agree to the T of the TPO part of the form, but I don't agree to the P, the payment part. So, you know, when I look back myself, I'm wondering, have I been had the opportunity at that time of signing consent for treatment, payment and operations, the ability to separate out the payment portion so that I could be a self-pay. Because you're still going to need a consent to treat, even though you're a self-pay. So that, I mean, is that happening right there in the registration department and admissions? Like that's something definitely that has to be defined so that it's carried through, especially when it gives them that extra right of privacy.
Well, and I think we're going to see more of it. I mean, especially after the Dobbs case. I know we've talked about this quite a bit internally within our own department of individuals going in and wanting to be a self-pay because they don't want that information to go to their payer. They don't want that EOB to come home into their mailbox and, you know, a spouse could inadvertently open it up and see, you know, oh, what does this mean? And so I think, and this is just my opinion, I'd love to hear yours, I think we're going to see more self-pays coming across in the healthcare.
Yeah, I agree completely, especially when this first came out as a regulation under HIPAA. They used the examples of sensitive private information that you chose to not have sent to your payer or your insurer as an example of why you would exercise that right of self-pay. And now that we have the Dobbs case and various states coming out with, you know, laws around reproductive health, even gender-affirming care, you know, that these individuals may exercise that self-pay right. And then we need to make sure it follows it through to the end to protect their privacy from not only their insurance company, but overall when it comes to, you know, the disclosure should a payer now, because the EOB was there, could they come back and say, well, I need the medical record to support the bill I received when they should have never gotten it. So
Right.
Goes hand in hand with the privacy elevation of the of and the ability to be a self-pay and protect yourself from your insurance.
You know, you said something a second ago and just made me think about it, especially with the gender affirming care. It's like people assume, and I know we'll probably do a podcast about designated record set, right? But people assume that, okay, I've got it in my billing information that this patient is a self-pay, but is it being communicated to all the departments? That's the other thing. Because again, you know, this family member was sitting there going, and I'm sure, and of course I haven't talked to them lately, but I'm sure that they probably had like, you know, a pathology report going to, you know, from the pathology department. You probably had anesthesia. I mean, you got so many different departments that are billing out. Do they have access? And how do you communicate that across your healthcare system to make sure everybody knows, hey, this individual's a self-pay?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the tough part of it all. And then on top of it, and I'd love your thoughts on this one too. Then you got this lovely little rule that came out with the 21st Century Cures Act. And we've got all this API technology out there. Are the EMR systems really focusing in on this? Or better yet, are the providers really, you know, educating the registration staff and making sure that they're flagging these appropriately?
Right. So there could be more of a break the glass kind of feature or an ability for the API to not be able to extract that information that is protected under self-pay.
Yeah. You know, what's so funny is that when HIPAA first came out with the self-pay, I know you and I talked about it quite a bit when it first came out. We focused so much on the patient restriction piece of it all. Remember? And I think self-pay was like, who's going to pay their own, you know, hospital bill? Because it's so expensive. But I think now we're in the world where you've got to really pay attention to that. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So listen, I think this is a great conversation, Amy. I love the fact that, you know, you gave some great input on this one. And I'm sure that hopefully when, you know, our clients hear this podcast, you know, they have some suggestions, or maybe they're encountering things that we're not thinking about, that we're like, oh, you know, what kind of solution can we at DataVant help in providing them to, you know, help them minimize their risk?
Right. Right. I agree. And we'd love to hear their feedback through the podcast chat. If they're, you know, if they're comfortable, maybe not even going in anonymously, but just to get that, we love interacting with our peers in this industry to see, you know, how are they handling it, especially when different entities have different levels of sensitive records.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for joining today's podcast. We really appreciate your all's taking time out of your calendar to listen to us, and we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you.